Blog Talk Radio.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
The Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the Living Water, sounds of the Living Water, sounds of the Living Water, radio show. Sounds of the Living Water, sounds of the Living Water, sounds of the Living Water, radio show.
Sounds of the Living Water, Radio Show. Well, shalom, everyone. Grace and peace in Jesus. Hallelujah. All praises from the Most High God of Israel. Welcome you to another episode of the Sounds of Living Waters. I am Job Israel, here with my lovely rib, Rhea Serene. Israel, say shalom.
Shalom, King Priest. Shalom, family. Grace and peace be unto you and your household.
In Jesus' name. We're dealing with a topic that I don't find. That's the Lord talks about the word being honey and sweet to the taste, and then bitterness too. But this is one of those bitterness sort of things that comes with the word, that something you don't have to tell somebody, that the God of Israel warned us with Ezekiel. He said, warn the people from me. And then he told them to eat that roll. You know, he told him to eat the roll. Then he said, warn them from me. And in this conversation of godliness to ungodliness is exactly that. So we're going to get prayed in. We're going to get started. And we're going to add our friends and family on Facebook, I guess, right?
Right. Before you pray.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. So we get started. All right. Our brothers and sisters, we can, our brothers can uncover their head as we approach the Father. And sisters, if you can cover your heads as we approach the Father. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Heavenly Father, have mercy on our sins and allow us into your kingdom. Father, have mercy and send forth both physical and spiritual gifts upon us. And Father, have mercy on our teachers, our elders, and our brethren and their families. And Father, have mercy on them that don't know you, God, but delight in blessing us because they see your light and kindness upon us, Father. Have mercy on them and their families as well. And Father, have mercy on our children and our children's children and their children and their families. And Father, have mercy and send forth your Holy Spirit and give us a mind to perceive and eyes to see and ears to hear and a mouth to speak your word with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and a faith to perform it. And Father, have mercy on them that hear us and send forth your Holy Spirit upon them as well, and give them too a mind to perceive and eyes to see and ears to hear and a mouth to speak your word with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and the faith to perform it. In Jesus' name we pray, for your mercies endure forever. Amen. Well, we're going to get started. I'm going to invite our friends in from Facebook. And we're going to get into this precept. Shalom, Israelites, grace and peace in Jesus, hallelujah. This is Job Israel here with my lovely Rhea Reyes, Serene Israel. Say shalom.
Shalom, family.
Grace and peace. Hey, look, we're going to deal with a little bit of fear of the Lord, man. I mean, you know, we got to, you know, the Lord said some of us, we need to be brought back into remembrance, you know, of things, and that God had these things written for us to be admonished by. And that's when he said, warn the people from me. That's what he told Ezekiel in the 33rd and 18. He said, warn them from me. And this is that one of those conversations with, like we were saying to our Blog Talk family, that's when he told Ezekiel to eat the book. And it was in his mouth as sweet like honey. But then it was bitter in his belly. Well, it's still the bitter part of it. That is to say, going from godliness to ungodliness. If God seemed fit for you to be godly and to shed his blood for you, then that's, it's no higher thing than that, because you get you a book, you get you a book of life. You in the book of life, you get a book that you writing things in, you know, to assure your salvation. More good things than bad. You know, you actually in the book of life when you're baptized, you know. Shout out to Nathan, man. Get them brothers in the water. Not only do they get a book, but they get their gifts. That other thing is, when he call you godliness, man, when he, you get a brethren, you get an angel, or you get the spirit of truth, you get a comforter, you get one of them, and you sealed with him forever, you know, and the word of God, these are who he given to, what he, the gifts that he given to the godly, you know, this is what's pertaining to you. I know we were talking about how we get an angel. Yes, you do. You do. All of us do. When you're baptized, you are sealed. And they didn't tell us don't grieve the Holy Spirit. And I know a lot of times think, you know, we put that in a box in a way that we say, well, that's physical. And no, your manners can grieve the Holy Ghost. Why? Because you got two brothers. Both of y'all got brethren, right? Both of y'all do. Because both of us is baptized. So the question is this. If the person that's offended by you, amen, both of y'all angels are in heaven, somebody's not shining. Somebody's dimmer. Somebody, light is going to show an offense from another one, because they got to appear before God for us. And so there's a day that all the sons of God appear before God, and there yours is. Now, he's supposed to be in light and righteousness and covered in the garments of praise and all that, you know, with the righteous. But he's representing us, and he got shade, because we out here casting shade. Then you become ungodly. So the God of Israel on the throne, he's looking at all these other brethren, they on point, and out my brethren, because I'm out here cutting up, you know, not just doing physical things, but just, you know, all out the way. You know, for lack of a better word, forward with the family of God, just forward with the brethren and the sisters and the elders, just forward. And God talks about them, and he called them the wicked because they were once godly. And that's going to be the tenet of the last conversation I'm going to speak on this, you know, not to say the least, but, you know, as far as this matter, you know, a fraud spirit is the door to a reprobate. You know, we throw this reprobate spirit around loosely, you know, this person is reprobate, this person is reprobate. Da-da-da. We just lose our mind in this word, but it's a process. One, it's a process for a person to end up like that. And the God of Israel give us warnings, man, like the pump of grace, just slow your roll, chill back. We can be ungodly and, you know, to the extent that we can, you know, become hypocrites. We can repent. We can repent from that because all we got to do is go back to doing what's right. But to continue with the fraud, then you run into that line of ungodliness that there's no repenting from, because there's only two forms of ungodliness, and that's hypocrites and reprobates. Because you can't, one you can get away from, the other one there's no return. And I don't know who will rejoice over anybody that they will even consider a reprobate. You know, because that means they're going to the fire. Who want anyone to go there? Anyone. When Jesus said he will, then no man go to heaven. He even wept in Ezekiel when Satan was cast out of heaven. He said, take on a lamentation for the king of Tyre. You know, a lamentation means deep woes and sorrows. So who would want to see anybody going to the lake? Who would want to wish or see anybody in that light that they could end up in the fire? Samuel cried for months over Saul, man. You know, and the God of Israel said, hey, look, I moved on from that conversation. But that's for him to say. It wasn't for Samuel to say. Samuel was praying for him. You feel me? And that's that watchman thing, you dig? That's that warning people from God, you know? And this is that conversation because we don't want to be ever found in the light of the ungodly. We don't ever want, that's like, you know, standing next to a volcano with shorts on and a tee. You don't ever want to be found there. So let's get into this precept. The godly from godliness to godliness. Amen. Okay. So let's start this. Okay, good. All right. Let's start this in 1 Corinthians 4:14. 1 Corinthians 4:14. When you receive it, read.
Amen. 1 Corinthians 4:14.
Yes, ma'am.
14 reads, I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you.
See, that's that bitterness, man. That's the bitter that comes with the word of God. He says honey, and then there's the bitter. Well, this is the bitter. We don't, you know, read on.
Amen.
Yeah.
1 Corinthians 4:15. For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet ye have not. And let me do that again. Though ye have 10,000.
Just start at 14.
Amen. I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers? For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son, and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church.
He said, and to bring, this is the Holy Ghost. For one, I mean, Paul is speaking, but this is the Holy Spirit speaking to Paul. And he's saying, for this cause I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son, right? And Israel didn't accept him. You know, he was part Gentile. So they had a problem with him. You know, his mother was Israelite, but his father was a Greek. So here we see God calling him beloved as well. So we can't even be, you know, we can't have no animosity toward anyone as becoming saints. And it says this, he says, who shall bring unto you the remembrance of my ways which be in Christ. I teach everywhere and in every church, right? So watch his manners. Read on.
Amen. Verse 18. Now some are puffed up as though I would not come to you.
See, some of us out here is puffed up. You know, we puffed up and we forgot the way. We need to be reminded of this. A little knowledge puffeth up. You know, and this is what's happening here. And he's warning us about that. He said, I warn you. Read on.
Amen. 19. But I will come to you shortly, if the Lord will. And will know not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. What will ye? Shall I come unto you with a rod, or in love, and the spirit of meekness?
Say again.
What will ye? Shall I come unto you with a rod?
What would you rather for me to do? Would you rather for me to come hollering and screaming at you and point a finger at you, or read on?
In love and in the spirit of meekness.
That is. That's what the sons of God testify of. That's who wisdom children testify of. And that's what the saints testify of. This mindset, these manners, this is the will of God. This is the spirit of God. This right here. You see? We can't be sitting in the judgment seat of God, else we'll be judging the law. We're going to look at that.
Amen.
Let's look at this a little further. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and pick it up at 1. You know, pick it up at 1.
1 Corinthians.
13 and 1.
Amen.
So we need to be brought back in the remembrance of this. And all of us going around here, we need, you know, talking about this person or that person or this institution or that institution, need to stand up before everybody they said that to and just say, I'm going to ask the Lord, forgive me. And I repent before God in Christ. You know, and just as much as we was loud and out here, repent for the people. Tell the people humility that anybody can get out the way. And show them how to repent before God. Or are we really showing them God?
Amen.
Right? Read on.
Amen. 1 Corinthians 13 and 1 reads, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I have become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal.
That's the end of your conversation. You just loud. That's it. Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I'm just making noise. I'm just loud. Duh. You see? So we got to hide this spirit. A lot of us think charity is, you know, giving somebody clothes and something to eat, and that's not it. That's not it. Charity is the love of God for mankind, leniency in judgment. Forgiving, forbearing, long-suffering, charity is those things for mankind. It's everybody. Amen. You don't get to pick who. He said, charity, this spirit covers a blanket, all of it. If you like, I read the definition, but I want to get into this precept because we're going to find out it's definitely not talking about giving away food or clothes. Read on.
1 Corinthians 13:2. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing.
See, don't matter what you're doing before God. This is the only time you hear Paul say, I me, 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 this, me, 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 that. You know. Read on.
Amen. Verse 3. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profits me nothing. Charity.
So charity isn't about giving away your clothes and food, because he just said, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, so charity isn't clothes. Let's look at the definition of charity. Let's look at that. Let's look at charity.
There we go. Charity. Provision or help or relief to the poor. Almsgiving. Something given to help the needy. Alms. An institution, organization, or fund established to help the needy.
Paul said he ain't talking about that. Read on.
4. Benevolence or generosity toward others or toward humanity.
See, benevolence and generosity toward humanity. Look up benevolence. He said benevolence, right?
Mm-hmm.
Toward humanity. Read on.
Benevolence.
You're in a dictionary.
Yeah, I went to your dictionary.com.
Okay.
And you see, every time it goes Temu, and I have to do that every time. So, blame Temu. Benevolence. An inclination to perform kind, charitable acts, a kindly act, a gift given out of generosity. And then it says, let's go down, desire to do good to others, goodwill, charity, an act of kindness, charitable gifts, a forced contribution to an English sovereign. Then love, benevolence, kindness, brotherly love.
See, there you go. That's what Paul was talking about. Right there.
Brotherly love.
Brotherly love. If I don't have that, I got nothing. See that?
Mm-hmm.
Read on. What else it says?
Understanding.
What?
Grace.
Mercy.
Sympathy.
Right.
Tolerance. Goodness, goodwill, compassion, indulgence, decency.
What?
Clemency.
That's forgiveness of sins. Clemency is to pardon sins. Read on.
Gentleness, philanthropy, fellow feeling, kindliness, and kindheartedness.
There you go. If I don't hide on fruits of the Spirit, I ain't going to see God. You say you can tell a tree by the fruit it bears. If I don't hide that, you ain't getting in the kingdom. You're not going to see him. If you're the godly, sinners may have a shot before the godly. Why? Because the godly knew better and chose not to. That's why they became ungodly. That's why this is the bitter part of the conversation. It's not the honey. You know, God said when it went into his mouth, it was sweet as honey, but it was bitterness in my belly. This is that thing. be ungodly. That's not cool. And you don't ever want to be found in this life. Ever. Never, ever. God forbid, you know, we can hook up and define ourselves as a hypocrite.
That's right.
Because you find yourself a hypocrite, you can repent. But who knows? That's God's will. You know, but the ungodly can't repent. They can't turn back. The end game of the ungodly is reprobate. And this is why we can't just be throwing that word around a lot. Because in the Psalms, he said, the ungodly won't be able to stand in judgment. There it is. If you've been godly and then you turn to ungodly, you won't be able to stand in judgment. Won't be able to stand. You're going straight to the fire. I mean, yeah. Yeah. So if the God of Israel saw fit for you, myself, to be up under the blood, man, then we have no other choice but to remain godly. And the godly thing to do is charity.
Amen.
See that? Read on.
Amen. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 3. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profits me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doeth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil.
What? Read on.
Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth.
So who would dance because they feel like someone is a reprobate? Who would do that? What kind of person would do that? That would rejoice over anyone that's been turned into a reprobate. Who? What kind of person is that? Is that a godly person? Don't sound like a godly person would ever do anything like that. Because those things are contrary to what's good. He said, though if I do these things, I ain't got nothing coming. It's not proud. It's not puffed up. It don't be talking about itself. It don't do none of that. It seek good. You know, it seek the good of man. You know. And think no evil. You know what I mean? So it don't rejoice in evil. It don't think evil of anyone, anybody. Because the God of Israel said, I will that no man should die. Not one. Ain't no but to it. But there's going to be some. That's why he made the lake of fire. But, no, man, he said, I will that no man should die. That's what he said. And there wasn't a but to it. But he going to make it for the, you know, some people got to go in there. He said, I will, no man should die. That's it. So we can't put people in the fire. Can't call people, can't put people in the fire, can't judge them, you can't do none of that. You be judging yourself. You see? This is that thing. Continue.
Amen. Verse 7. Rejoice not in iniquity, but rejoice in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things.
So we hope that anyone that's out of the way find their way back on the path.
That's right, amen.
We don't will that someone is cut off or they're not going to get into the kingdom. That's not anything that any one of us would do. Excuse me. No one would will that believe in God, that will consider themselves as servants of God, will will that. So it's not in us to do it. We can't do it because that's against the law. Read on.
Verse 8.
Yep.
Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things.
Now I understand that I know in part, we see in part, everybody got different gifts. But no one's the end all be all to that belong to God, because neither one of us can comprehend God. You know, none of us. None of us can comprehend him. And I can read that. He said that he's talking about eyes haven't seen or ears have not heard of the things God is going to do. So no, we can't comprehend him. He may have revealed himself to us, but our comprehension is based on perception. Yeah, that's good. Read on.
Verse 12. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. And now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity.
Okay, amen. So the greatest of all those fruits of the Spirit is charity. So that's what a godly is going to be trying to strive out. That's the goal right here, is this spirit, to obtain this spirit right here. This is the goal. This here is unfailable before God in Christ is getting into the kingdom. We achieve this, we get in. Anything less of this, we can probably not. So looking at the fruits that belong to charity will get you in the kingdom.
Amen.
Let's look at this a little further. Let's go into 1 Peter chapter 1 and 16. 1 Peter 1 and 16.
1 Peter 1 and 18 reads, for as much as...
No. 1 Peter 1 and 16.
Oh, 16. 1 Peter 1 and 16. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons, judges according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear.
See, this is what we got to be careful about. He said, be ye holy, for I'm holy. And he said, God is not a respecter person. He not us. He don't click. He's not cliquish.
Amen.
He's not into those things. He's into the inner man. He's looking for him. He's looking for himself in us. And if we are striving for the spirit of charity, all those other things will be added. And that's what he's looking for. So, and it says this, he says, because it is written, be ye holy, for I'm holy. So God is merciful. He is. He's the word charity. If anyone is charity, that's God. Because it also said he's lenient. He punishes less than our sins deserve. He punishes less than our sins deserve. So this is what we all want. Why? Because it's even in the prayer. Lord, forgive us of our debts as we forgive others. Read on.
Amen. Verse 18. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, with precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was ordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfringed love of the brother.
No. We can't. You can't be calling people reprobates and have this. They say this is in you. No. We can't call people reprobates and say this exists. No. Look up the word feigned. Look that up. Unfeigned. It says
unfeigned means genuine, sincere. Yeah, it means genuine and sincere.
It means genuine love for the brother. Sincere love for the brotherhood. That's what he said.
Unpretended, unforced.
Not fake.
True.
I ain't pushing. That brother here and that brother there.
Authentic, genuine, real.
See that? Not
sincere.
Fake. You ain't trying to sell them no front. Hey, yeah, you know, I'm holy like God. You know what I mean? I'm this and I'm that. I'm selling you a car. To what purpose? You want me to buy something? You want me to spend my money? Is this what this conversation is? Because that's what he's saying. Unfeigned is not having those things. You see that? It's not lifted up. You got to hide this unfeigned love. Genuine, not fake, not pretentious. Pretentious. You know, God is real. Say, I'm not respect the person. I don't care what you feel about this person or that person, this person. Y'all playing them games, y'all don't know God. If it's in us to play them games, we don't know God. Because he don't play them games. He don't play, this person over here said this. I don't like this person because of that person and this. Y'all there, this is part of that bitter conversation that God said is bitterness in the belly of those that have to report.
Amen.
Because you fall into that thing too. The Lord talk about putting stumbling blocks in front of the blind. That's leading people not in the way or uncovering things that they shouldn't be talking about or talking about other people so that they can get a perception of this person. That's putting stumbling blocks before the blind. Ain't no repentance for that. That's willful sin. That's blasphemy. That's dangerous. We don't ever want to be found in that light. Never. That's the light of the ungodly. They were once godly. They believed in God. They loved him. They loved the brotherhood, all that stuff. And there it is. He's saying, got to continue in it. We want to say we saved, but then he say you got to endure it to the end. There it is. Got to continue in it. Can't be partial. You can't be pretentious. Can't be fake. You know, you can't be a respected person because the law immediately say our God is not a respected person. So we can't even play games like, oh yeah, well this is my teacher, that's my teacher, that's my brother, that's my. We can't even do that. You do that, you don't know God. Because he said, I ain't about that life. This is what he's about. Continue. Read that again. 22.
1 Peter 1 and 22 reads, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently.
See, that's godliness. See that you love one another, not curse each other. You know, you're a reprobate, you're a false prophet, We ain't supposed to be throwing out curses. We're supposed to supposed to be throwing out blessings.
That's right, baby. That's right.
You see?
That's right.
If we don't have this in our mouths, then we are part of the ungodly. And we don't ever want to be found in that light. Never, ever before God. Because you might be at a point you can't turn back. The ungodly are the reprobates. They once was godly, and now they not. Now, hypocrites get a chance to repent. It's either one of them places you don't want to be found at ever. You don't want to find your light in that. You don't want to ever be in that position of a hypocrite and your end being the ungodly that's reprobate. This is really serious. So we can't just be throwing that word out there, hey, you're a reprobate, you're this, you that. Man, it's not, that conversation is, that come with all kind of things, all kind of laughs. And we use that word like loosely, and that's something that we should never be saying, especially of one another. Continue. He said, love one another with a pure heart fervently. If we are not, you're sinning. We're sinning. So I don't care how much you've done. If you're not here, you ain't gonna see God. Well, I'm not. We don't.
Amen. Verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever.
Now, how can we say we're born again and not the love of the brother in our hearts with a pure heart? No, you're not born again. You are not. I'm not. See, that people heard about that and somebody like ran their mouth too much on it. And people that's weak or don't have nothing, they ran off with this, not understanding that this here come with what they call that directions. You know, like when you're fixing the table, this come with directions. Being born again come with directions. It comes with a list of things that you must do to stay born again.
Amen.
This is it. These are the instructions. That's what I meant. Instructions. Being born again come with instructions. And if these instructions are not followed, you are not born again. And once again, you can tell the tree by the fruit that it bears. Read on.
Amen. Verse 24. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you.
See that?
Amen.
That we love one another. This is the word. That we love one another. This is the word that was preached on us. This will make us godly. Right? This is what make us godly. The unfeigned love, loving one another with a pure heart. That's the problem with the world now. It don't know how to do it. You know, and that's the problem with marriages. They don't know how to do it. Because we got a misinterpretation of love.
Amen.
You know, we think love is a fuzzy feeling or something that warms you, or when you're around that person, you feel a kind of special way. It's not always that, because I stayed around people and felt vibrations. And I know it wasn't love. I just felt it, you know, or I was watching a movie and I felt some kind of way. So that ain't love. Love is truth. 1 + 1 = 2. That's your truth and that's my truth.
Amen.
Now, I have to respect your truth as long as you're not lying about it. The minute you lie about it, I don't have to respect you at all. But you have to respect my truth. Because that's what love is. Love is the truth.
Amen.
Anything contrary to that is sin. So we don't have a choice if we call ourselves servants of God or Israelites or teachers or preachers. We don't have a choice. You can't be in no other light. You can't play in that shade. You can't cast in shade. And you say you're the light and you cast in shade? How is that possible? That's against the laws of physics. That's a super oxymoron. That's impossible. Light cannot dwell with darkness. Darkness cannot comprehend light. So we can't cast shade on nobody that's supposed to be in a light. Amen. No matter how bright the light is, right? If we're in a light, we're not supposed to be casting shade. That's the first rule that you gotta love our neighbors. Matthew 22:36. Matthew 22:26.
Matthew 22:36 reads, Master, what is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets.
What?
On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets.
And we doing what? We doing what? And he said, the first greatest commandment is this. Love your living God with all your heart, with all your soul, right? And the second one is right after that. Because God's light is on that, right? Love your neighbor as yourself. That's the next great commandment. And we teaching people not to do that. We, so-called teachers, is instructing people not to do this because of what we think we can say before God in Christ, right? See about that. Because he said, on these two hang everything from Genesis to Revelation. You can't go nowhere in a book and not preach that. It's your first principle. You know, I shouldn't even be talking about the bitter, but I have to talk about the bitter because there are going to be days like this. There's going to be times like this. There are going to be people like this. We got to talk about warning ourselves from God that we don't ever want to be ungodly.
Amen.
Ever. You don't want that conversation. You don't ever want to be in that conversation or in that light because we are covered in light. And your light depends on what you're doing. Your light is either blinging or it's shade. And God see. That's what the Father said. I was looking for fruit on this tree. You better get, man, sister. Matthew 5:17.
And 17?
Yes, ma'am.
Matthew 5:17 reads, Think not that I come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise passed from the law shall all be fulfilled.
He said that include love your neighbor as yourself and love your God with all your heart. And loving your God with all your heart is loving your neighbor with unfeigned love. Can't get around it. Right? Read on.
Amen. Verse 19. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven.
But he said that's the greatest commandment. And we teaching it against the greatest, the top two commandments. Not the least of the commandments. You know, whatever that may be, that we would consider least commandments, but we're teaching against the greatest commandment that's of man, that we should love our neighbors as ourselves. We're
Amen.
Teaching against that. And he said, whosoever teaches against the least, what are we doing? Who would do that? Who would teach against the greatest commandments? What kind of person would do that? What's in them to do that? God, Jesus said, I'm a cast you out if you teach against the least, and we're teaching against the greatest commandment. That is to love your neighbor as yourself. Right? We don't want no parts of that conversation. Because there it is right there. He said, think not I come to destroy the law of the prophets. He said, by these two hang all the laws and the prophets. He said, I ain't come to destroy them. If you teach against the least of these commandments, you could be in trouble. And if he said teach, he's talking to the godly. He's talking to instructors, prophets. Prophets. Apostles. Miracles, teachers, he's talking to them. Pastors, evangelists, he's talking to them. If you're teaching against the greatest commandment, read that again. I want him to say it. I want him to say it himself.
Amen. Matthew 5 and 19 reads, whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven.
You better tell them to love one another.
Amen. That's right.
See that? Man, we killing ourselves in madness, man. Pride, that charity thing is missing. Can't hide that. We got to sow that fruit. We got to sow that among the people. You know what I mean? But this, he ain't going to get it. He said, you love your neighbor. It's the next greatest commandment, and we're teaching people how to dishonor their neighbor. Who get to do that? Who do that? What kind of person would do that? And then put you in that situation, in that light, in that consciousness before God and Christ. They will put you there like that. Let's look at this a little further. Let's go into Mark 3 and 28. Yeah, Mark 3 and 28. When you receive it, read.
Mark 3 and 28 reads, verily I say unto you, all sins shall be forgiven unto the sons of men, and blasphemies wherewith soever they shall blaspheme. But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation.
There it is. That's why they won't stand in the judgment. Why? Because what? We're teaching against the greatest commandments? That That's blaspheming. We telling people we can hate one another. We can call each other reprobates. By name. By name. We telling people we can do that. And God said, anyone that do that will not see the kingdom, will not see the borders, and will never see the Father. If we teach against the least of the commandments, let alone the greatest, where are we?
Read it again so we can move around. So Mark 3:29 reads again, but he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation.
Okay, go to 1 Peter 4:11. 1 Peter 4:11.
Amen.
And when you receive it, read.
1 Peter 4:11. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever.
See,
amen.
See, the thing is, some things we teaching that God didn't give us.
Okay.
And there it is. He said, you ain't supposed to be there. If he didn't give it to you, then you need to be instructed properly. This is why, you know, a lot of us don't know how to handle guns. Unless we teach them properly, then we can kill ourselves or kill someone or injure someone. Same thing with doctrine and things like that. If, you know, you just got it, you can mess around and you can kill somebody with it. Or you can injure someone with it. Like some of us are now. All right, with the gospel. Read on.
Amen.
Yeah.
So 12.
Yeah.
Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is let me do it again.
Yep.
Got a message. Okay. Beloved, in the name of Jesus, baby, call here. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified.
See that? So on your part, they want to speak evil on it, and that's not cool. Ain't never good. But see, the Lord will stand up for you. You know what I mean? So we got to be careful ever doing anything like that. You see? Read on. Because this is absent. This is contrary to love your neighbor as yourself. So Paul is warning us about that. Read on.
Amen. 15. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters.
You got too many people in everybody's business. So what that person over there in their church? So what that person over there in their car? So what that person in their house? So what the person in their relationship? So what? That's not our business. Your business is getting through the evil of today that you will find yourself in with your mouth, with your feet, with your hands and eyes. So your concerns is not theirs. Your concerns are yours. So what good is it for me to know about anybody's sins? It ain't gonna benefit me. It's not benefiting them. So why would I want to know? Why should I care? Why would I won't have anything to do with it if it's not even benefiting them? Read on.
Amen. Yet, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God.
We take this conversation loosely. You know, he started in Zechariah 14, he's going to clean up the land, and then he's cleaning up all these little corners, the storefronts, houses of Israel, you know, clean them up, right? All over the world, get the priests right. Then he going to clean up all the rest of these institutions, right? Read on.
Amen. 17, we'll read 16 again. Yet if even any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear?
See, and that's why he's talking about judgment start in the house of God. He's not talking about the world. It starts in the house of God. That's where people become ungodly at. And we don't want that conversation. We don't want to be the ungodly in the house of God. That's what he's talking about. Judgment is going to take place on them. The hypocrite. You better find you some love in your neighbor. You better find some charity. Are you going to be part of the judgment? I'll be part of the judgment. If I don't find me no love my neighbor as myself, I don't find me charity, I won't see God.
Amen.
So I got to find it. If I do, you do. First Peter, oh yeah, we read that. Okay, and the sinner, right? The sinner. The sinner is just somebody who don't know God. They ain't in church. They're what Jesus would call publicans. You know what I mean? So we got to be careful with that. Because he said the publicans and harlots are in the end and you yourself cast out. They go to young godly again. See that? You don't want that. You don't ever want to be found in that light. Ever. You don't want to be found in that shade. If you're messing around in that shade, you can find yourself here. Because that's where that's going. All right. Go to 1 John chapter 3 and verse 9.
First John 3 and 9. Reads, whosoever is born of God doeth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him.
So if you're born of God, you ain't talking about hating your neighbor, you ain't calling them no names. They're not reprobates, they're not this or that. In fact, you're doing what the law said. You're trying to cover their sin. Amen. You know what I mean? You're trying to cover their nakedness.
That's right, baby. That's right.
You know what I mean? So that wouldn't even apply to you if you're born again. Read on.
Amen. Whosoever is born of God doeth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother.
That is. So you're a child of the devil.
Mm.
That's that bitterness, man. That's that. That's the part of the book that's bitter. You know, he tells us that it's sweet to your taste and bitterness in your belly. There it is. He's telling you, you're a child of the devil. If it ain't no love in you for the brotherhood, ain't no love in you for mankind, it ain't no love for you for sins and being lenient and not judgmental, considering yourself.
Amen.
That's that bitterness. Because you got to tell people that they're doing this. We got to tell people that ungodliness is not no place we want to play with or around or in.
Amen.
Ever.
Amen.
Sins is one thing. Ungodliness is another. Read on.
Amen. Verse 11. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous.
So Cain is called wicked, but he was godly at once, right?
Yeah.
And God actually talked to him personally, yeah, and tried to get him to pump his brakes. Mm-hmm. And he became ungodly, and God gave him an example of what he do with the ungodly. He cut him off. He said, "Where your brother?
Right.
Where your brother?" He didn't say, "Where's your neighbor?" He didn't say, "Where your enemy?" He said, "Where your brother?"
Amen.
And then he said, "His blood is crying from the earth to me." Right? Well, that blood would be the blood that he's covered in as Christ. And he got a book. Remember now, he's in the book of life. If he's baptized in the name of Jesus, he got a book of life because he's written in the book. So now he got a book that he's writing. And he, in his book, got you there as an offense. And not just him, other people. Now, a whole bunch of people, books is testifying that you're an offense. That's the vibration we send in. Now, they brethren, or the spirit of truth, is in front of God in Christ testifying of you, and your brethren ain't going to lie before God because he's going to testify it's true. And God going to see it. He's going to look and the light ain't there. It's going to be shade that you've been casting, and it's going to be true what's in their books, that you are an offense. We want to talk about the book of life. See, this is what happened when we ear hustle. You know, I remember, you know, I was doing this group thing, and my brother kept asking, "Man, where you get that from? I'm going to do a precept on that." And he did it again. "Oh, man, I'm going to do a precept on that." And then he changed it up, right? We was kicking bowls, you know, just talking about things that belong to God. And he changed it up. "Oh, I did 3 lessons on that already this week. I'm going to have to add that." Who do that? You give honor to what honor is.
Amen.
Like Elihu. Man, you give honor. Joel didn't kick, did he? Man. I got this little brother in Georgia, man. He be spitting that Melchizedek. I give him his right then and there. Because I want to see more. I ain't trying to run and take it. So now, you in everybody's book of life that we've been given that's under the blood as an offense. Now, the blood is crying up to heaven. That's Cain. Who want to be seen in that light? Ever.
You said Abel's blood is crying up to the heavens?
Yeah. Or Jesus. The same blood we baptized in. We out here cutting up, and he said that blood is vibrating. And then he go and look in everybody's book, and there you are, pissing on everybody. That's the same thing Satan did. And he got kicked out. And now your brethren that he sealed you with on the salvation is up there in heaven looking like that. You putting them up there with this on. In front of the other brethren, because they all got our books, like, there it is. Like I said, that ungodly thing go a long way. Where are we?
I just got through reading 1 John 3, and what's this?
Keep reading. I try not to cut you off.
Okay, I think I stopped at 12.
Yeah, continue.
Okay.
But remember, Cain is wicked. He called him wicked. So if we try to cut off, if we dogging our brothers, then we can be in the box, in the wicked box. That's called the wicked box. We don't ever want to be found there. If you godly, you don't want nothing like that. Read on.
Amen. Verse 13. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death.
See that? Who playing in that light? Who playing in the light of death?
He that loveth not his brother abideth in death.
In death.
Oh, my goodness.
Right? So who want to be there? Who rejoices and dance around there? Who do that? What kind of person would do that? Read on.
Verse 15. Whosoever hated his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer have eternal life abiding in him.
Continue.
Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him?
See, you can steal your brother's honor when it's due. You see what I'm saying? You're supposed to give that man or that woman her honor, and we can hold up our vows.
Amen.
Of passion or whatever's due to them. Amen. That's right. You see?
Amen.
You give them their honor. It ain't for us to judge or to steal their honor. We can never do that. It's not our place. Not before God and Christ. Read on.
Amen. Verse 18, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth.
See, forget all that mouth and all that, you know, jibber jabber. Action speaks louder than words.
Amen. Amen.
So let us love in what?
Amen. Once again, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth.
Continue.
And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God.
As long as I don't owe you nothing, I don't have to. Why should I be offended? Or my heart convict me. I don't owe you nothing. I can't, like the Lord says, he talks about, you know, having an ought against your brother, and then, you know, you bringing your offering, you're going to fast, and you're going to do all these things before God, and it's in your brother book that you offended him. There it is. And here you come. See? That's why we got to be careful what we're saying. You know, our books is what the book is. It's the book of life. Okay, he got a book. Call the book of life that we all in, that's been baptized. And then he got a book that he's given us to write in. So we got to be real good on what we putting in there.
Mm-hmm.
Every idle word,
yep.
Our actions, our time spent, those are our personal books.
Amen.
Read on.
Amen.
So to say, like a diary. It's like a diary, but like a memoir at the same time, you know. It's like that. A record book.
Amen.
It's a record book. Are you recording stuff in it? Yeah, the book that you have is like that. So you can't be in there, yeah, I just called this dude a false prophet in front of the whole world in your book.
Hmm.
Read on.
Amen.
Now it's in everybody's book because you did. Like, that's a good thing. Read on.
1 John 3:22 reads, "And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we kept his commandments, and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, as he gave us commandments."
We can't get around it. If we say we love God and hate our brother, then this don't exist in us. See that? Read on.
Amen. Verse 24. "And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him."
See, you still in the book of life. See that? Or we could teach people not to love our neighbor and find out we're not in him and we're not in the book of life. Read on.
"And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us."
Now, go to 1 John chapter 3:9.
1 John 3:9. Yes,
ma'am.
Go back up to
9. Yeah. Wait a minute. No. We read that. Right. Okay. Yeah, go to Ezekiel chapter 14:1.
Okay. Ezekiel 14:1.
Yes, ma'am.
Ezekiel 14:1 reads, "Then came certain of the elders."
No. That's good. Let's just leave it there.
Okay.
Yeah, let's just leave that there. Yeah, let's leave that one there. Right?
Okay.
So, with that being said, you know, that's just a warning, man. It's the fear of the Lord. You don't want to play with that spirit of ungodliness. We don't want no parts of that conversation. So our thing is to make sure that we keep our mouths off one another. Because he said everything going to come to remembrance, even those things that are done in secret.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, like for instance, here, like we just, you talking to another person in the middle of nowhere about somebody else, and there's not a cow or cricket or anything around, and he said, "I'm gonna put that in the book."
Why you have to say a cow or a cricket around?
Ain't no such place as that. But if it was,
He said, I'll put it in the book.
I'm just saying.
You know what I mean? So we got to be careful with our conversation. We can't just be willy-nilly all over the place. Anyway, so with that being said, hey, we want to thank everybody for their time. We hope we edify someone. We want to say to the family of the Sounds of Living Waters, oh, my God. I'm going to say thank you for your time.
Yeah.
And we hope we edify someone. And as we say here at the Sounds of Living Waters, please
read
your Bibles
from Genesis to Revelation.
Genesis to Revelations. Amen.
Amen.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
Teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah, really breathtaking. Under His love, recovering, it's so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show.